ولا يرسي نعمها ولا عفو ولا يؤدي حقه المستحقون الذين يملئه معرض الحمى ولا يناله سلطان والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا ومطيب نفوسنا والشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا ابن القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وال محمد
وعلى اله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بيتنا في الاربعين صاحب العصر والزمان خليفه الرحمن امام الانس والجان ولعن الله اعداءهم اجمعين الى يوم الدين. اما بعد فقول الله وقول الحق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما كان لنفس ان تؤمن الا باذن الله ويجعل الرجس على الذين لا يعقلون. صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم صل على
We offer our condolences to the Imam of our time and to all of you and the Maraji and the Rahman on these days of Fatimiyya. And let me reiterate what Hassan was talking about, and I will get to, inshallah, my topic in a moment. Alhamdulillah, I am always honored to be here and hear from all of you. I was here last year during these very special days, and I'm honored that I'm back here with all of you this year as well. Inshallah, I'll introduce the topic in a moment. Before that, though, a little bit about Fatimiyya. Many of the ulama have said that these days of Fatimiyya are no less than days of Ashura. In fact, one can argue that somehow, if Fatimiyya didn't exist, perhaps the days of Ashura wouldn't exist either. And the fact that the enemies had the gall and the audacity to do what they did during Fatimiyya gave them the courage to do what they did on the day of Ashura.
But one point I want to make to all of you, inshallah, you'll accept what I'm saying, and there won't be too much of a fight with me on this point. And that is that the emotion that Fatimiyya brings about, and it's a point that I make almost every year wherever I go, the emotions that Fatimiyya brings about in us, the lovers and the Shias of the Ahlul Bayt, is a little bit different than the emotions that we have during the days of Ashura. I find, and maybe I'm incorrect, but I find that the emotion that we have during Fatimiyya is a little bit more aggressive in nature, more angry almost than those of the days of Ashura. And naturally, of course, we think about the musibah of what happened to our mother and how she left this world. Any human being with half a heart would feel angry. But it's important that we don't allow that emotion to cause us to lose sight of what's happening right now in the world. Because usually, you know, when these days come about, these days of Fatimiyya, all sorts of hashtags come about and all sorts of video clips are shared and all sorts of, you know, tweets are sent out and posts are shared and WhatsApp videos are sent and they're all gone viral. We have to be a little bit careful to understand that the deen requires one thing from us and our emotion requires another thing from us. I don't mean to talk code right now with all of you, but I will talk code. Hopefully you can, you know, understand the code I'm talking about. If you can't, then ask me later. I'll give you what the code means, inshallah. But this is not the time for us to sometimes express the anger. I'll make a very important distinction between the existence of this anger that we have and the expression of that anger. One is the existence of the emotion itself. One is the expression of the emotion. Nobody is denying that there is anger when it comes to these days. But when it comes to expression of the anger, we always have to remind ourselves that we are not above the deen. That the deen comes number one. In fact, this entire musibah of the Ahl Bayt from Fatimiyya to Ashura is a clear message that the Ahl Bayt put the deen first before even their own lives. And so we are not individuals who will allow our emotions to kind of be free reign and express them as we wish in a public gathering or on a public website or on social media, because she's our mother and I have every right to express my hatred and express my la'an and all these things. Let's be careful with the expression of the anger and ensure that we follow the path that the maraji and specifically the rahbar has laid out for us, that we don't wave off of that path, even if the emotion at that moment is very high. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. I'm here, inshallah, for 3 nights, and as always, we have a topic in mind. If you remember my discussion with all of you last year, which I don't expect you to remember, but inshallah I do, we talked a little bit about the love and the mercy of Allah, and the attempt last year was to perhaps reintroduce Allah to be this creator of love and of mercy, one who wishes to see all of us succeed in this world and the hereafter. And that was last year's discussion. And this year's discussion, looking at right now what's happening in the world and specifically what's happening in this country. You know, one thing you have to understand, and all of you do, mashallah, this is a very intelligent community, one which has access to great ulama. And that is that in every era of every prophet, the one thing or the one hukum or command from Allah was based on the needs of that time. And while we understand Islam and the deen to be a universal religion, no doubt about that, there are certain moments where the application of certain parts of that religion are belong to that specific time. So for example, whether it was during Nabi Ibrahim's time, where he spent his entire day, entire night simply trying to, you know, prove to these people that the sun that you believe in is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moon that you worship is not God. The stars that you worship is not God. Now at that moment, if Nabi Ibrahim introduced Salat and Psalm and the Sharia that the Prophet of Allah did, at that moment he would fail. That wasn't the need of that time. You move forward to Nabi Nuh's time, Nabi Musa's time, Nabi Isa's time, our Holy Prophet's time. Every single prophet brought about what that zamana and that era and that time and those people needed. And that's the culture of the deen. The deen is a perfect deen. But the application of that deen will change depending on what era you live in and where you live in as well. In this day and age where all of you are residing today, in this very crucial and sensitive era of 2018, and specifically in this country, with the leadership that you have right now in Washington, there are things that are expected from you that perhaps weren't there even last year. This is all building towards my topic, inshallah. And one of the things that we require is complete and absolute submission. It's not my topic. But one of them is that we don't need partial submitters to the deen anymore. The deen today requires absolute, mutlaqan submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala kulli hal, in every situation. But the other thing that this deen requires is the revival of the aql. Is the revival of the aql. Please follow me. You wonder sometimes the news that comes out of Washington. You wonder sometimes about the fact that in this country, there's 18 school shootings in 2018 alone. 18 in the span of 6 weeks. Just on Wednesday, 17 people died in Florida. And our thoughts and prayers go out to the people. I have no idea how difficult that must have been for any parent to send their child to school thinking, you know what, they're going to school and not come back. I send my girls every single morning to school. I don't know what it feels like. I wouldn't even know if someone called me and said, there's a shooting at the school that your daughters go to. And all of this, you wonder, you know, fine, NRA debate, gun control debate, the right to bear arms debate, all those debates are there, and I'll let you guys have that because it's your country, it's your constitution, no problem. But you have to look at something a little bit higher than that. What causes a 17-year-old to go back to his ex-school and open up fire? You could say, yeah, he was a white supremacist and he was a little bit off and he was, you know, a loner and he was an orphan and all these things. But there's something deeper. And it speaks to a generation, a community, a movement right now in this country where all of you reside in that's a little bit damaging right now. It's dangerous right now. And what would help is if you had a strong leadership in Washington, and you don't have that strong leadership. But a lot of it is the fact that the faculty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted the human being to make that human being above every other creation, meaning the aql and the intellect, when that begins to die out and begins to wither away and begins to kind of find its corner somewhere lost inside the soul of man, then you see shootings like you do this past Wednesday. You see situation that you see right now in this country. So inshallah, the title of our series the next 3 nights will be The Dying of the Intellect. And we'll look at the thing called the aql. And so when we look at the idea of the intellect in Islam, and there are some beautiful traditions that I want to share with all of you, but initially, let's go and look at the verse that I chose as the base of our discussion from Surah Yunus, verse number 100. The 10th chapter of the Quran, the 100th verse of the Quran, of that chapter, sorry. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this individual, the human being, وَمَا كَانَ لِلْنَفْسٍ أَن تُؤْمِنَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, that it doesn't have the permission to go along and worship as it wishes, except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning they cannot go and worship as they wish. Everything resides in the comfort and the lap of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then at the very end of this verse, it's a very important point. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيَجْعَلُ رِجْسًا عَلَى الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. And Allah gives, or Allah installs, or Allah instills, or gifts, or produces what's called ritz in Arabic, for those who don't use their aql. For those who have resided to using their wahm, or their shahwa, or their ghadab, or the other faculties that reside inside the soul, that should be controlled by the aql, however it's not. Meaning sometimes you see a group of people who seem like the entire group is moving towards one area of fitna and corruption, and you wonder what's happening at that moment. Allah is being very clear in this verse that because you refuse to use that aql and intellect and power of reasoning, Allah has given you this what's called the ritz, this uncleanliness, this fitna, this corruption inside of you. Why? La ya'qilun. You refuse to use that aql. And so when a society, when a group of people refuse to tap into that intellect that Allah gifted all of us, then at that moment then they can expect to see the state that some of us are seeing today in this world. So let's first understand what the aql is, what the intellect is. The Quran, before that, let's come to a hadith by Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Recite one salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. He says this, it's a very beautiful tradition. And I want you to keep in mind these movements, like we have the Me Too movements and this entire harassment issue that we're seeing in Hollywood and in politics and all over the case in this country. He says that Jibreel comes to Nabi Adam. Very beautiful tradition. It's in fact one of the first few traditions inside the Kitab of Aql and Jahl of Kulaini's Usul al-Kafi. He says that Jibreel comes to Nabi Adam and says, I'm going to present to you 3 things. You are to choose one and leave the 2 other. Nabi Adam asked Jibreel, what are those 3 things? He says those 3 things are aql, haya, and deen. Follow very carefully. Aql, haya, deen. Aql is the intellect. Haya, for lack of a better translation, is modesty. Deen is deen, religion, way of life. Of these three, you have to choose one and leave the other two. Very, very carefully. Nabi Adam says that I choose the aql. And Jibreel then commands Haya and Deen to go. You haven't been chosen. You can go now. And the response from Haya and from Deen comes to Jibreel, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us that wherever the aql goes, we must follow it. Allahu Akbar. Meaning Haya is not possible without the aql. Deen is not possible without the aql. And this entire movement of harassment that we're having, this Me Too movement, the entire movement is a lack of haya and modesty and purity and chastity inside this society. And when you have haya that's not there, the reason why it's not there, because the aql is not there. Wherever the aql goes, Hadith says, haya and deen follow. I mean, deen is aqli and so is haya. Such a beautiful tradition. It talks about the fact that the base of almost every solution to a lot of the problems in society is the aql. And we'll explain what the aql is throughout this opening discussion, inshallah. Another tradition that we have by our seventh Imam, Imam Musa Kadhim alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted man two sources of hidayat and guides. Please follow me. One is on the outside, the zahir. What is on the inside, the batin? The outside guides are in the form of the anbiya and the awliya and the a'imma, the prophets, the special people of Allah, the imams, etc., etc. The inner guide is the aql, is the aql. And the moment that the aql takes a back seat to everything else inside of us, and I'll explain what that means in a moment, then what ends up happening, we become individuals who are at the whim of our own desires. And so statements like, I believe the deen should be like this. If you ask me, it should be like this. In my opinion, this is the way it should happen. So when we hear about stories like people attacking Marjia, for example, that doesn't fit in 2018, or when people, for example, come to me, and true story, have come to me and say, you know, I've made khums haram on myself, Sayyid. Because khums is a money laundering system of the ulama, na'udhu billah. Or you hear this idea that azadari should change to be more of an intellectual discussion, and we remove the latamiya, remove the emotion, remove the tears. Imam Hussein, after all, he did worship on Shabi Ashur, the night before Ashura. Why do we spend all night doing latamiya and Sina Zani and hitting our chest? This is what is called when the aql is gone and they're left at the whim of themselves. The Quran says, don't be like those. Don't be like those that have forgotten Allah to the point where Allah has made them forget about themselves. Has made them forget about themselves. We're not individuals who are just left as it is to go on and do what we wish. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made every sort of arrangement for us to be those who are successful. All we need to do is ensure that we build those inside. Now, many of you might ask, and some have asked, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that inner guide, why do we need the outer guide? Great, great question. And the question is easily answered by saying that sometimes this inner guide needs to be itself guided, has limited understanding. And the example we'll give you are these physical eyes that we have. These eyes can see, they're 20/20, alhamdulillah. But the moment that the lights are out, these eyes become useless. And what guides us is what? Is if somebody lights a torch or a flashlight or opens up their phone, for example. Now we follow that light wherever it goes. The job of the outer guide is to constantly guide the inner guide. So yes, there has to be an element of our aql and the outer guide to reach towards salvation. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So we're talking about the idea and the concept of the dying of the intellect in society. Where man now, for some reason, has completely and absolutely become enslaved by his own shahwa and ghadab. And all of you should know very quickly, in the world of akhlaq, it's a book called Jami al-Sadat, which is a very famous book in the Hawza. The initial introductory discussion on akhlaq and ethics by Ayatollah Naraqi, he talks about the idea that the human being has four different faculties. It's also narrated in Imam Khomeini's 40 Hadith book. And those four faculties are the aql, of course, shahwa, ghadab, and waham. I won't spend too much time explaining these terms. Mashallah, all of you know what these terms mean. But it is enough to understand that of the four different faculties that Allah has given us inside of us, three of them require it to be trained, and the fourth, of course, being the aql. Meaning there are components of shahwa and ghadab that need to be controlled. The deen of Islam is not a deen that says for you to destroy your desire, to destroy your anger, that if somebody slaps you across one cheek, you get the next cheek to slap. No. We don't believe in that. We believe that anger is a very natural emotion, but there are moments when to express it and when not to express it. Right? For example, if you look at the seerah of Sayyidah Fatima Zahra Sallallahu Alaiha, for example, you look at the moments during Fadak. A very simple example for all of us to kind of apply. You know that this era in her time was a very difficult one. She was, for the first time inside the mosque, facing those individuals who were responsible for this grief that she was feeling over Fadak. Fadak wasn't about a piece of land. It was about the fact that this was a symbol of her father's love. And for the first time, like I said, she was across from that individual, from those individuals that caused this anger. And the books don't sugarcoat things for us in history. You know, let me make this point here as well. Of course, based on what the brother had said. That this call for unity by the Maraji, it's not my topic. Maybe it should be, but it's not my topic. This call for unity from the Maraji, it's not a call for us to erase history. Nor is it a call for us to rip out pages of books or pretend like this didn't happen or that didn't happen. It's a call to understand that at this moment, what does the deen require? Not what I require. Meaning, if you look at the two examples, and I'll get to say the Fatima in a moment. The two examples, very, very quickly. These are just reminders for all of you. MashaAllah, you guys are very, very well informed. The first Imam, Imam Ali, for example, on the night of migration, when the Holy Prophet is explaining to him that there is this ploy now to kill me by the various groups inside Mecca, I need you to sleep inside of my bed while I make my way towards Medina. Correct? The only question Amir al-Mu'mineen is asking the Holy Prophet is, if I sleep in your bed, will your life be saved? Will Nabuwah be saved? Prophethood be saved? He goes, yes, it will, Ya Ali. He goes, then I'll sleep, no problem. Doesn't ask, yes, but what about this, Ya Rasulullah? What about that, Rasulullah? What if they ask me about this? What if I get killed? Nothing, one question. If I sleep here, will you be saved? Yes, khalas, done. I'm sleeping. Come to his son on the day of Ashura. Very famously, he says, what if the deen requires me to be killed and trampled and decapitated and all these things? Then bring on the swords. Meaning what the deen is afzal, the deen is number one, I am number two. Entire call for unity by our Maraji is a call by those Maraji that see the world in entirety. Not bubble by bubble by bubble when someone like me sees it. You look at this idea of Fadak and say the Fatima, of course, was angry, the books say. And she had every right to be angry. Now for the first time, like I said, she enters the mosque. And think about someone who's upset all of you. Like really upset all of you, shook you to your core. And for the first time now, you're across from this individual. All those feelings come back. There's a few words that you want to make sure that they know. Perhaps you want them to hurt just as much as you're hurting, if not more. And sometimes we don't hold back. I want them to feel the pain that I feel. And so we let loose with our tongue. Here you have Sayyida Fatima enters the masjid, puts up a hijab, puts up a partition between her and the men. The masjid is completely packed. There are men there who are waiting to hear from the daughter of the Holy Prophet. And before she could begin, she lets out a sigh, the books say, a sigh. And all the men break down to tears. It's a very emotional scene. Once they calm down and again silence is restored, she begins her khutbah. And the very first thing that she does is she praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about when you're angry. Think about when you're boiling mad. To the point where we lose control of our tongue, of our limbs sometimes, God forbid. And afterwards, when things are restored, we go back and we say, look, I'm sorry about what happened. That wasn't me. I was angry. I was out of my elements. She was upset. She was angry. This was a gift from her beloved father. And you know as well as I do how close she was to her father. Umme Abiha, as they call her. She had every right to express that anger at that moment, but she chose to initially praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the role of the aql inside the human being. Is that when that ghazab and when that anger is exploding, when that ghazab and that anger reaches a point where it's now elevating, it's the aql that comes in and controls it. Doesn't remove it. Anger is there. It says, look, this is how you should express it. So for example, God forbid your parents make you angry. Hadith says that you have no right to say what? Uff. Quran says you can't say uff to them. The aql will say, look, I know your mom upset you. I know your father upset you. You swallow that anger. But then you hear about the zulm in Palestine, what's happening in Yemen, let's say, for example, what's happening in Bahrain, for example, what's happening, let's say, in Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Burma, Nigeria, all these places, and you're angry and you're upset. That moment, there's expression. Express your anger. Don't hold back. Within, of course, elements. Within the law, of course. And the aql is that dividing, that decisive factor that tells the internal factors, internal powers, when and how to express yourself. Desire, for example, shahwa, lust, inside of our youth today. The deen says it's a very natural emotion. But the aql says when to express that and when to fight it. This entire discussion on marriage, for example, and how a wife should be behind closed doors with her husband, as opposed to a wife being on the streets in public, for example. Big difference, the aql then determines what to do, what not to do. Now, can you imagine if that aql is removed? If that controlling factor is removed? If that filter is removed? If that voice of consciousness is removed? Now you have these three wild beasts inside of you, as Imam Ali says, that have no one to control them, no one to tame them. And this is what we're seeing today. A free-for-all. Say what you want, in the name of public, in the name of what? In the name of the power of speech. Write what you want, post what you want. It's all freedom of speech. Doesn't matter if you insult a certain group, doesn't matter what happens. This shooter in Florida, you look at the way that they present, the media does, about this shooter. It's almost as if they are sympathetic towards him. You know, he's a troubled youth, and he's an orphan, he's a loner, tough life. You know, somebody who needs help, for example. Right? They talk about, you know, the reconstruction of him. They talk about the fact that he needs to be rebuilt, for example. If his middle name was Muhammad, the entire media would go crazy. But never once did you hear anywhere, from Wednesday up until today, the word terrorist. You ask them why, they have no answers for you. And so a lot of the decisions that we see on a group level, on the individual level, shows us that this aql, this intellect, that the Quran says, وَلَكَدْ كَرَمْنَا بَنِي آدَمًا. We've honored the sons of Adam. When you look at tafsir, the honoring is the gift of the aql and the intellect. That one element that makes us higher than any other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That one element that made us masjood in front of every other creation. That made us qabil sajda, as they say in Farsi. where now you are worthy of that sujood of the other mawjoodat. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So we'll look at the idea of restoring its intellect, strengthening it, ensuring that it's constantly that governing factor inside your internal kingdom. That yes, while we accept the existence of anger and desire and lust inside of us, it can't be left uncontrolled. There has to be a factor, and that factor, of course, is the aql and the intellect. And that's what we're seeing today. We see individuals who are completely, whether it's the idea of mental health, which is a huge issue altogether, stress and anxiety and depression, or the idea of individuals who are coming in and just taking lives as if it's nothing. It's important and vital that at this stage, when we reconstruct the deen inside of us, we strengthen our intellect. And the hadith says, Al-ilmu misbah al-aql. Knowledge is the lantern of the intellect. Knowledge. Now, what is knowledge now? It's not my topic, but very, very quickly. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad before that, please, inshallah. This is where English becomes a little bit of a weak language. Ilm itself is often translated as knowledge. And it's not the best translation, if you ask me. Ilm can't be confined to one word in English. Ilm is a journey. It's an existence. It's a light, as Imam Sadiq says. And it starts off with information in the brain. I want all of you to you know, for a moment, think about how many hours of majalis have you heard? How many hours of lectures have you heard? From the Muharrams to the Safars to Fatimiyya to the Shahr Ramadans to everything. How many ulama have come in and out of Dearborn? How many hours and hours have you heard of lectures? And on top of that, it's a tough pill to swallow. How many of those lectures have we actually applied in our life? Now, the example I give sometimes is, when we move from one house to another, we go into our basement and we have these boxes, right? And they're labeled, let's say, summer of 2015 or, Christmas of 2014. Inside there's all those things from that time. It's put in a box labeled and keeps stacking up, right? We've kind of become like that when it comes to our lecture series across Muharram and Arba'een. And, we have Muharram 2014. That was a good Muharram. Then we have Shahr Ramadan 2016. That was okay. Then we have Fatimiyya 2018. That's a good speaker. Then we have, let's say, and they're all in the basement of our minds, and they're kind of, stacking up, and they're all properly labeled with a beautiful Sharpie pen, mashallah. But very rarely do we ever go into that box and take out what we need. So when you hear these beautiful, profound statements by Ayatollah Bahjat, rahmatullah alayh, that if only the ummah acted on what they already knew, that's it. We'd be somewhere else right now. Acted on what we already knew. No one's asking anyone here to reinvent the wheel or discover new fiqhi rulings or look at the Quran this way. No, there's enough knowledge right now for us to be, mi'raj towards Allah, ascension towards Allah. So ilm initially is information in the brain, in the head, that we hear from people like me. And then where it should go is it should descend onto the hearts and mix faith and iman with that knowledge. Where it actually hits our hearts. We emotionally invest ourselves in the information that's been given to us. Whether it's a hadith that really rocks our world or a verse that wows us or those aha moments that we have sometimes. But somehow those moments only last up until we are in, surrounded by these black curtains. And then when we get to the parking lot, ghaflat hits and we're gone. We think about tomorrow's weekend, and what do I do on Saturday? Are the eggs in the house? What about the milk and juice? What's on sale? And that's it. And the aha moment came, and the aha moment is gone. And the information stays up here. But those elements that descend onto the heart and that we emotionally invest into, then Imam Salih says, from the heart it becomes an amal. So ilm is a journey from information to investment to amal. Now that whole process, what that does, it enlightens what? Misbah al-aql. It enlightens the intellect. And we become intellectually sound individuals. Intellectually sound individuals make intellectually sound decisions. In this era where there's a lot of confusion and doubt about the deen, a lot of our youth are struggling right now about the deen. We require the intellect to be as strong as our love is. And remember, the deen is an aqli deen. The deen is an intellectual deen. Even our emotion is wrapped with our aql and intellect. We have hadith that says what? Allah tests His believers the most in extreme happiness and extreme sadness. Think about our weddings and our communities, mashallah. I don't know about the Arab community, but our South Asia community, oof. It's like they press pause on the deen. Then they go and they do their celebration, then they come and they press play again on the deen. They say, Mulana, I have one daughter. Just one daughter. I want to give everything to her. Give everything to her. It's fine. Don't complain when your journey towards Allah is being a little bit deterred. Because now for a moment now, what happened to all your piety and taqwa? Well, it's only one day, Mulana. You know, I do so much more, you know. I'm the president here, I'm the principal here, I'm this, that, I'm the program director here, this and that. So what we do is we actually do a little bit of, you know, accountability with ourselves. That, you know, I've done 8 good things today and 3 not so good things. So 8 minus 3 equals 5. Still positive. It was a good day. I'm 5, mashallah, in the Prophet. Doesn't work like that. It could be that even you sitting in a certain function where you shouldn't be sets you back several days and several steps. Forget hosting a whole environment with this music, mashallah. And there's mixed, mashallah. That's extreme happiness. Come to extreme sadness. Why is it that there's fatwas and verdicts on how to perform certain acts of azadari that drive some people crazy? They often argue with me, why is it that the marja has to dictate to me how to cry for Hussein ibn Ali? Why can't I grieve the way I want to grieve? Because you're not above the deen, that's why. And your personal grief to Imam Hussein could be ruining the same cause he gave his life for. All these things require the aql to be strong, the intellect to be strong. We're not instinctive animals. We're not people who just kind of react. No, we've been given a faculty of reasoning. Allah says, look, wherever you feel anger, lust, go up to the intellect, knock on the door, say, look, I'm angry about this. Do I react or do I swallow? He'll say, swallow, you swallow. I have this lust, I'm in love with this girl, for example. Should I follow it? Should I kill it? Kill it, the aql says. She's a good mu'min, our sister, mashallah. She's good marriage, you know, good material to marry, mashallah. Then, mashallah, explore it. Go down that path, the aql says, through the halal means. All these things require the aql to be strong. That's why Imam Ali says the intellect is that faculty that what guides you after you've fallen into misguidance. What picks you up and dusts you off is the intellect. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. That's why when you look at the musibat of this very difficult days, you often wonder what happened. How could it be that you forgot who the daughter of Rasulullah was? It wasn't enough that she had to remind you that when they came to the door and they said that we want Ali out to give bay'ah to the first Khalifa. When they knocked on the door several, what, this door was that same door. The Holy Prophet would come after the revelation of verse at-Tathir would come 6 months after that verse. On that door, Assalamu alaikum ya ahla bayt al-Nabuwah. The same door that he would come and knock on, he would ask his own daughter, do I have permission to enter your home? The angels would come and seek permission to enter the door through the door of Fatima. Now that same door, there are people there with logs of wood piled up at the base of the door that we want Ali to come out. If you don't send Ali out, we'll burn the house down. And the one who responds, the first defender of the wilaya of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidah Fatima, says that there are small children in this home. There's Hassan, there's Hussein. Surely you remember how dear and near these two were to your prophet. We don't care. We'll burn the house down. We want Ali to come out. And this connection between Imam Hussein and his mother, very briefly, inshallah, we'll end with this, is important for you to understand. We'll recite the Musibah, inshallah, on Sunday night. You know that these two are very, very close. 2 points I want to make here, then intamas dua. When Imam Hussein was leaving Medina to go towards Kufa, he stopped off at two different graves. He first went to the grave of Rasulullah. And they say he went as a soldier. He went as a man on a mission. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm leaving now. Your deen is in the hands of some wrong people. I'm going to do islah of your ummah. But when he went to the grave of Fatima, it was completely different. They say Imam Hussein was stumbling towards the grave of his mother. And the example I've seen in the books is this, that when a young child, a young baby, doesn't see his mother for a very, very long time, hours is gone, she's out running errands, when the door opens and the mother is seen, that baby can't get there fast enough, running, tripping, stumbling towards the mother just to be held inside of her arms. Hussein, when he went towards the grave of Fatima, that Amma, I'm leaving now, Medina, he was stumbling towards her grave. He fell on her grave. He cried, Amma, you're not with me. Baba Ali is not with me. If you can, just one last time, hold me and hug me inside your arms and let me know everything will be okay. But Hussein, your mother never left you. On the day of Ashura, Sayyidah Zainab comes out. Nahala, nahala, yabna Zahra. Slow down, O son of Zahra. I have an amana from you, for you from our mother. And Sayyidah Zainab approaches Hussein, kisses his chest, kisses his neck, kisses his forehead. She said, Amma told me that when nobody had spears, when nobody had arrows, they would throw rocks at my Hussein's forehead. When nobody had anything else to do, they would lay my Hussein on the ground, and 10 different horses would trample the body of Hussein. That neck that you're kissing is the same neck that Shimon bin Diljoshan 13 times with a dog knife would separate. So ya'lamu alladhina zalamu ayyamul qalibin yanqalibun inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept this qaleel ibadat, inshallah. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept our good deeds and forgive our sins and those of our parents, inshallah. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so much bloodshed all over the world. We ask you, the one solution that we see is the coming of our 12th Imam. May we witness the zuhur of Imam Zaman in our lifetime, inshallah, and be beside him during his mission. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.